You're listening to Trek FM.
This episode of To The Journey is brought to you by Audible.com. Offering more than 150,000 titles for your tablet, smartphone, and desktop. Support the show and get a free audiobook of your choice by visiting audibletrial.com/trekfm.
Hi, this is Robert Duncan McNeil, also known as Tom Paris from Star Trek Voyager. You're listening to Trek FM.
Everybody at home and welcome. This is another episode of To the Journey.
To the Journey!
My name is Charlene Schmidt. I am one of your co-hosts on To the Journey, but with me, as he is every single week, is
Tristan Riddell.
And I am stoked about what we are going to talk about this week because I think it is something that a lot of fans have wondered themselves. It is a very frequent topic on message boards and forums. What have you, people talk about this on Twitter, and that is, what would Voyager, or even just Star Trek in general, but we are a Voyager podcast, so we're going to talk about what Voyager would look like in today's TV world, and we're going to dissect it a little bit.
Yeah, a lot of people talk about what the next show is going to look like, or how it's going to feel, and obviously we could talk about that, and a lot of people talk about that, but the thing is, like you said, it's a Voyager show, so we're going to talk about what Voyager would be like if it was made today.
Right. Not the next series like a lot of people are buzzing about, but if Voyager had not existed at all in 1995, we were still waiting for a woman in the captain's seat, and it was going to happen, let's say, next year.
Right.
This is what we think would happen. So, we're going to break this down. We're going to talk about how it might appear on a big network, NBC, ABC, or CBS, how it would look and feel maybe on a cable network, and maybe it differentiates on different cable networks. We're going to talk about that. And then also, of course, because this is a part of our world now in the 21st century, Netflix and Hulu breaking some serious ground in the way that shows are made.
So we're going to have three categories: broadcast, cable, and streaming.
Boom. So that's how we're going to do it. I figure we start big first with this one. Because, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong about this, but I would say that the big networks are still the most mainstream, widely accessible way to get your entertainment.
Well, yes, absolutely. It's as far as we've come in entertainment and as far as we've come with subscription TV and people gobbling up their own entertainment in so many various different ways, CBS, NBC, Fox, these are still the main networks. These are still the ones that bring in the most people because it's free. Free is good. And people
yes.
love free. And
free is accessible.
Yeah. And, you know, you look at shows like even though AMC is cable, The Walking Dead was the number one rated show and the most watched show above broadcast TV. And that was the first time that it ever happened in history that a non-broadcast television show, as in a paid-for cable TV show, had more viewers than any other show in primetime CBS, NBC, ABC, Fox. That was the first time it ever happened. That was a big deal. And that just happened last year.
Right. After how many years of television?
Right.
Decades.
Of over half a century of television. It's insane.
Right.
And so, yeah, so basically, long story short, you're right, Char. Yes, it's true.
Okay, fair enough. Yes, so even though we have so many more choices nowadays, the big networks still capture the biggest, widest range of people. And of course, this is how Star Trek got started. The original series was on NBC back in the mid to late 1960s. My question, though, is this. Would this even happen?
What do you mean, would this even happen? What do you mean?
Would a broadcast network like NBC develop a show like Star Trek Voyager in this day and age, a show that's going to require a big special effects budget? I mean, it's not going to be cheap to produce whatsoever. Would mm-hmm. they do a one-hour drama, as we've always known Star Trek? Honestly, I see it as unlikely. I don't think I'm going to flip the channel over to my local NBC affiliate here in Fargo and ever see a starship floating across the screen. And yet, You know what? We did get Cosmos on Fox, and I never would have thought that was going to happen in a million years either. So maybe I'm wrong. What do you think?
Well, I think you make a good point, because look at the landscape today of broadcast television with CBS, NBC, ABC, and Fox. You don't see spaceships flying around except for Cosmos. You don't see any. Mm-hmm. Now I'm not as literate as I used to be, but I can't think of sci-fi shows in primetime right now on free broadcast networks. Because if anything, like you said, we saw Cosmos on Fox with a spaceship flying around, and that's what I'm thinking of. If we do get a show, and of course we forgot to talk about it at the beginning of the show, we'd have to disregard rights completely because CBS owns the rights to the TV show. And so obviously, like, if somebody wanted to make a TV show of Star Trek, they'd have to go to CBS, but CBS could option the rights. They could sell it off.
Sure.
Another person could just be a distributor. This is a hypothetical situation, people. So please don't write us about how CBS has the rights.
Yeah, good point.
But
yes.
Like you said, it was like out of all of those, out of the major broadcast networks, I think that Fox might be the one because that has Cosmos and that had Fringe. And those are the only major science-based or science fiction-based shows that we have seen in primetime lately. Because I know people saying, oh, wait, no, there's tons of sci-fi on TV right now. Not really. And like you look at TBS, TNT, and Sci-Fi Channel, those are all paid-for cable channels.
Right. That's not what we're talking about yet, so
that
doesn't count.
That's not what we're talking about yet. And so my vote's for Fox, not because I wanted to be on Fox, but just because I think it would most likely be on Fox if this was a new idea.
Yeah, I have to agree. I have a very hard time envisioning Star Trek going onto a network like CBS or NBC, where honestly, and I don't watch tons of broadcast TV, so forgive me, but it seems like a lot of it is kind of like crime dramas or thrillers, and then your occasional sitcom, like Big Bang Theory.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not a whole lot of room for a whole lot else. Fox seems to be the only network that really kind of branches out. I mean, they've got their animated stuff. They did do Cosmos. They did do Fringe, like you said. They tend to take more imaginative concepts, I think, and actually give them a chance. Unfortunately, a lot of them are short-lived, but they do put them out there. My thought, though, is would it be successful on Fox? I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know if it would I don't know if it would be successful right now. And I mean, you look at NBC with Hannibal, and that's doing very well. And obviously that's not a sci-fi show, but that's a genre show. It's it's different. It's horror-based, and so it's not your average run-of-the-mill cop drama.
Right.
So I feel like maybe it would exist on NBC. Like, now granted, we have no idea where it would fit, but if we chose Fox, like just for this theoretical conversation, let's say Fox is the one that options this new show called Voyager. What do you think a Fox Star Trek Voyager show unveiled in 2015 would look like?
In all honesty, I have this vision that it would be another animated series. That's how it would work on network TV on Fox, because Fox is very successful with its animated shows. They've had The Simpsons forever. They have Futurama. They had King of the Hill for years and years and years. Honestly, I could see that as a part of the Sunday night lineup.
I completely 100% disagree with you. How would that even work? I mean, Star Trek's an hour-long drama.
But what if it wasn't?
So you would think that Star Trek should be an animated comedy along with American Dad, Family Guy, and The Simpsons?
The thing is I don't know how comedic it would be, but while we're thinking hypothetically here, I don't think it's a terrible stretch. No.
I think it's a huge stretch. I'm sorry, Char. I just can't believe we're having this conversation.
Sure, there's other people screaming at me right now in their cars or at their iPods saying, "What is coming out of your mouth?" But I do not see, I do not see a live action TV series on any of the major networks. I guess that's what it boils down to for me, is I can't see it in this fashion. And we'll get to it a little bit later, how this might tie into another idea I have, but we're not there yet. So what do you envision this? Because clearly we have different ideas. I want to hear what you've got.
Definitely an hour-long drama, and I feel like because it's on Fox, it has the ability to go either way with episodic or serialized storytelling. And I feel like once we get to the paid for TV stations, they would definitely be serialized, but we'll get to that.
Yeah, no question.
But yeah, I feel like this could be a good half and half, where Fringe started off very episodic, even though it had an overarching storyline, kind of like The X-Files. And I see that happening again, which also was on Fox.
That's true. It was. That's a very good point.
I could see it as they start, like, you know, like Voyager's perfect for it because it starts off with a main story. It's not like Next Generation or TOS. It says, okay, we're in the Delta Quadrant and we have to get home. That's our story. It's not just random exploration. It's not just the story of the week. We have to get home. That's our mission. And then these are the stories of how we get there. And so I feel like it could definitely be more serialized than it was, but not as serialized as something like Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm. Right, where you don't have to know everything that's happened before just to watch another episode.
Exactly, and Fringe was that way starting out. Fringe was actually pretty cool that way, because the first couple of seasons, it was, okay, this is who we are, this is our mission, and crazy crap is happening, and it was a lot like The X-Files. But then it went all serialized, and it just didn't work, in my opinion. Well, and I think a lot of other people's opinions, because it got canceled. But that's the major difference that I see, is that it's a little bit more serialized than what we saw. We'd probably get a little bit more year of hell stuff going on. You know, like, it wouldn't last an entire year, and I think it would just be a drawn-out year of hell, but nowhere near as intense. Like, think of Year of Hell diluted over 7 years. That's what I would see.
Yeah, very slowly adding the grit. That leads me to another question. Do you think it's going to be darker and grittier? Maybe
it
a little
absolutely
more,
has to be.
You know, bloody and violent?
It absolutely has to be. Now, I'm not saying that I want it to be. I'm saying that's the reality of TV that we live in today. It's not 1994. It's 2015 when this comes out in our hypothetical, theoretical situation. And it's going to be more violent. It's going to be bloodier. And I remember when Voyager was more violent than anything other Star Trek that we've seen. I remember in the shoot, we saw a guy get his throat slit. And that blew me away and my parents away. We're just like, what on earth is happening? This is Star Trek. And now if you watch that today, you wouldn't even notice it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, Voyager, compared to productions today, is incredibly innocent. It's very PG.
Yeah.
As opposed to TV-14.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, I mean, it would have to be grittier and bloodier. But the thing is, though, I feel like hopefully these producers would know their audience and know that Star Trek isn't about sex. It isn't about violence. It's about the progression of the human race, and it's about exploration. And, you know, but Star Trek has always been sexy. Star Trek has always been action-packed. But that doesn't mean that it's violent. It doesn't mean that it's sexual.
Yeah, it can't just have those things in it for gratuitous reasons. There's got to be more to it. There's definitely more meat to Star Trek than just that. It can't just be a thriller and then after an hour, it's a completely forgettable moment where absolutely nothing happened and you can go on with your life unscathed. No, Star Trek makes you think.
Yeah.
It would have to be a little more clever than that. And yeah, absolutely. Anybody who would take this on would have to keep that in mind, for sure.
Right.
So, you see, I don't know, you see this kind of as a one-hour drama, maybe a later night on Fox.
Yeah, like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, something like that.
Okay.
On Fox, yeah, like somewhat serialized, like with its overarching story, but still episodic, where anybody could come in and watch it and get and pick up wherever they left off.
Gotcha. You're helping me see where you're coming from. I still think it's improbable that we'll ever see Star Trek on broadcast TV like this ever again. Maybe it's because I'm jaded by UPN.
But we're dealing with hypotheticals here. We're dealing with a what if. What if it was on Fox?
It's
what
true.
If it was on this
It's
network?
True. So reality, honestly, doesn't apply.
We could get more into the nitty-gritty of what exactly it would look like. But before we do that, I think it would behoove us to go into the paid subscription. Let's talk about AMC, TNT. Let's talk about HBO, Showtime, Cinemax, things like that. Now, granted, we both know that there's a big difference between AMC and HBO. Like, AMC comes
really?
With a package.
Aww.
Well, no, I'm talking about, you know, like paid subscription. You know, like AMC comes with a package and HBO you buy individually. But there's too many variations to go at it individually. So we're going to look you know, loop those together.
Yeah, I'm going to take this a little more generally. I honestly think that cable is definitely more suited toward a niche show like Star Trek is.
Compared to broadcast, yes, I think it's...
Yeah, it absolutely. Is. It's much more probable that we would see it on, say, AMC than we would on NBC. I would think, just because everything is so diversified now on television, and you can find just about anything that you're looking for, and we have hundreds and hundreds of choices on cable, you're going to go to whatever draws you the most. Star Trek fans are not going to care if it's on HBO or on AMC. They're going to flock to it. They'll do it.
Yeah.
They will find a way to watch it.
Yes.
And so,
yes.
Honestly, I don't even know if it matters so much what the network is at all. Just the fact that this would be a very good home.
Well, yeah, it doesn't really matter what the network is, because people will watch it, because there's so many of us. We'll find it no matter, like, because it doesn't really matter how we watch it, because, like you said, we'll find it no matter what. I mean, TV is just a delivery device. It's not the end-all, be-all.
Right.
And, I mean, Kevin Spacey gives talks all across the country and all across the world talking about how this generation of people don't care whether it's on your computer, on your laptop, on your iPad, on the TV, or wherever. It doesn't matter, because it's just stories. People just want to consume stories, and
absolutely,
it's no longer movies and TV. So that's the distinction. And so I think, but the thing is, we still live in a reality where these are our major content creators, and
mm-hmm.
so we have to think about how they would deliver it to us. And once you take away fan films, which deliver online, we can look at the AMC, Showtimes, and HBOs. Now, out of those major cable networks, What network do you think it would be best suited for?
I've put a lot of thought into this. I could see it working on really a lot of them. I could see it happening on HBO. I could see it happening not on TNT or TBS, but AMC is probably what would get my bill, because they already have the big niche shows going on. They've had Breaking Bad. They have Walking Dead. They have Mad Men. People know that this network has a really good reputation for thought-provoking and exciting and interesting stories and series. And with a built-in audience already for Star Trek, and then on top of people who just like what the network produces, I think that right there, boom, you've got a good thing in the making.
I am in complete agreement, because I love AMC. I love Mad Men. I love Breaking Bad. I love Walking Dead. These are some of the greatest shows that have been made in the past 20 years, let
yes.
alone on television right now. Breaking Bad is just finished,
mm-hmm.
but these three shows are some of the greatest shows made, and they're all on one network. They're all on one network.
Yeah.
And it's just absolutely amazing. And if I could choose any network to host Star Trek, that where you watched it on a normal TV, AMC would be it, because I love the program. And also, here's another reason why, and this might make a few people angry, but I don't want it to be on Showtime. I don't want it to be on HBO. I don't want it to be on Cinemax. And this is why, is because I don't want to force storylines that don't need to be in there. I don't need to force gratuitous content that doesn't need to be in there. I don't need to see two Starfleet officers having oral sex in order
right.
to get the story. And that's the thing, is that I don't care how much you love Spartacus. I don't care how much you love Game of Thrones. Yeah, sure, they're great stories. Yeah, sure, they have great special effects. But there is so much violence, gore, and sexuality that has nothing to do with the story.
Absolutely. That is actually one thing that I don't care for when I tried to watch Game of Thrones. I watched a season of it. And honestly, the gratuitous violence and the nudity, I can take it or leave it. And yes, it's a beautifully written show, and it has amazing performers in it. But to be honest, not my cup of tea.
And see, that's the thing, is that you can call us prudes if you want to, but that's not the reason why we hate it. The reason
no.
why we hate it, as in you and I, is because it's gratuitous. It's because we love storytelling, and when something is introduced that has nothing to do with the story, I don't like it. Whether it was gore or sexuality, let's say it was something else. Let's say it was a car chase. What on
yeah.
say there was a car chase in there that had nothing to do with the story. Say the story was a medical story, and then all of a sudden we see a car chase that's 10 minutes long.
Exactly. All that is a distraction.
all that is a distraction. It's bright and shiny colors in order to get ratings and get people talking about it. And that's unnecessary. And also, Star Trek, its roots is about storytelling and the message. The rest is all just polish. And right. I don't want Star Trek tainted by the realm of HBO and Cinemax and Showtime just because everybody's doing it. You cannot watch a new show on HBO. Like, my mom comes to me all the time and says, like, oh, there's this new show coming out that looks really interesting. Should I watch it? And I go, no, Mom, you can't, because you would be too, like you and I are more desensitized to it than the other generation. But it's just, I just don't understand the need to throw all this unnecessary stuff into a new show that has great performances and great stories when it could. It's like when you go to a movie and it's rated R and it easily could have been PG if they just took out a few swear words and one topless scene, you know, like it easily could have been PG and then you could have gotten a broader audience. And that, like, I know I'm talking for a long time, but that's the thing, is that Star Trek belongs to everyone, not just 18 and above.
It's true. Yeah. And even though it is a niche audience, that doesn't have anything to do with what you're saying. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Like, I don't want to see Captain Janeway getting nude and having sex with an alien of the week, you know,
it's
on HBO.
Unnecessary. Yeah. And you know that just would happen if Star Trek went to HBO.
I hate to say it, but yeah, that is the big reason why I wouldn't want it on one of those networks. No, I mean, it would probably have some incredibly powerful storytelling. It would have some fantastic writing, because there's some amazing shows on these networks, like The Wire. That's an amazing show.
Yeah, The Wire, True Detective, all great shows, but all, you know, like, True Detective is a great show with great writing, great performances. It, like, made me believe in Matthew McConaughey again, but it has completely gratuitous sex and very rough violence.
Yeah, I think it's an imperfect fit, like HBO and Cinemax, Star Trek.
If it went on AMC, what would you see? How would it be different? What storylines would you see? What characters would be different if it was on AMC?
I think you're going to see a lot more complicated storytelling. And like we said earlier, definitely a serialized format. I'm thinking like Breaking Bad, where the story just keeps going on and on, and all these weird things intertwine. And then when the show comes to a close and it's all over, you just sit there for a minute and you think, oh my God, what did I just watch? You know, even though it's been, let's say, 7 years later. And yeah, they're going to plan big arcs. They are going to plan. It is going to be a little more violent, but I don't think it's going to be nearly as gratuitous as, say, what you would see on HBO. I think it would work a little better, because I feel like the people who produce shows on that network get it. They understand the sensibilities of today's audience, and they're giving us exactly what we want. And we are so drawn to it, all we keep wanting is more.
And I feel like, like you said, I feel like if it was on AMC, it would definitely be serialized. It would be a serialized show. It wouldn't be like it would be on Fox, where it's somewhat serialized, but mainly episodic. It would be absolutely 100% serialized on AMC. And I know a lot of people are saying, okay, the show needs to be on Cinemax or Showtime or HBO, because, and the main advantage, and I agree with them, is that there's no commercial breaks. And so you don't have to create a fake cliffhanger every single act or every single 15 minutes or every single 10 minutes. And so because of that, you'd give the writers a lot more room to breathe in order to develop these stories. That's 100% true. But I'd be willing to sacrifice that in order to keep it on message and in the spirit of Star Trek. And I think you're dead on about saying that the characters would be much more developed. I feel like this would be a much more character-driven show than it would be event-driven.
Absolutely.
Show.
Yeah, we would know so much more than we ever learned about Chakotay or Harry Kim. We're going to see them hanging out all the time in the mess hall. We're going to find out much more about their hobbies, the horrible things that they do to each other, because that will inevitably happen. It's going to get a lot more complicated. The other thing with AMC, though, is right now it's very popular because of the success that it's had, and therefore you are going to get some attention just by being on that network. But also, they've got the money. They've got the budget. Because they've been successful, they could fund Star Trek, I think.
Yes, I think you're right. And one thing that I'd be interested in is if it was an AMC would be I feel like there'd be much more focus on the Maquis storyline. I feel like it would
Oh yeah.
That would be almost more of the mission statement of the show than being lost in the Delta Quadrant. I feel like
Oh yeah.
I feel like it would be Maquis versus Federation, and then underneath that would be we're lost in the Delta Quadrant together. Now I'm not saying everybody would be at each other's throats all the time. I wouldn't say it would be like Battlestar Galactica. Hopefully it wouldn't be, because we already have Battlestar Galactica.
Right. We don't need to go there.
We don't need another one. But hopefully, I really do feel like if you look at Breaking Bad, Mad Men, and Walking Dead, these are character-driven shows. And so with Star Trek being a character-driven show, what are the main distinctions? What's the conflict between these characters? And that is Maquis and Starfleet.
Absolutely. Certainly for, let's say, the first 2-3 season, you're going to have that tension either directly in your face for an episode or two, or it's just going to be underlying tension where you know right. It's always there, and then it's going to build up, and then they're going to have to deal with something about it. And then it might go down underground for a little bit, but it's still there. You haven't forgotten about it, and it's going to come up again. And then, you know, eventually I think they would reach a point in the series where, okay, Maquis and Starfleet, they have to unite, come together, and then finally they have that turning point where they start to work together as one solid crew. You know, they go through something very traumatic, like, let's say basics happened. They lose the ship, and they have to work together to get the ship back, and they realize, hey, you know what? Life on the ship ain't so bad now.
Yeah, I could see basics lasting more than 2 episodes. I could see that a handful of episodes in this AMC-type atmosphere.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I envision it as something like that. But what I really want to know is, moving on now to streaming media, how would this be different than, let's say, AMC? Because binge watching. Could you imagine binging on brand new Star Trek? I mean, perish the thought here. Holy crap. I just blew my own mind.
I didn't even think about that. But yeah, that would be the main difference, is that let's say it's Netflix, okay? Like, screw Hulu, because Hulu is not producing any good shows. But let's just say it's Netflix. We all know what we're saying when we say streaming. We're talking about Netflix. And yes, okay, Community's on Yahoo now, but come on, we're talking about Netflix.
Sorry, Hulu, let's talk Netflix, because that's where the really hot stuff is. House of Cards, Orange is the New Black. The really hot, recognizable stuff is on Netflix right now.
Yeah, streaming television is now getting Emmys. That's fantastic. So I didn't even think about the whole binge watching thing. But yeah, if Netflix kept the same model, we get a season of Star Trek all at once. That would completely alter the landscape, because we're so used to just getting it week by week by week. Mm-hmm. And then a huge break in the summer, that I don't think those of us who grew up on Star Trek and watched it when it was live have no idea what that's like. But the thing is, the people, the younger generation, the people who got into it later in life, you know, they were able to binge watch it. So, I mean, you and I can't really give that perspective, but from our perspective, and I think it's the majority's perspective, that would be very unique and interesting.
It would. And then, I don't know, the idea of brand new Star Trek that no one else has seen before being released, say 13 episodes all at once. We're all on Netflix at 12:01 a.m. on a certain date watching it, and we're just going to go through it all through the whole weekend. I would think, in a way, this would be the best thing that could happen to the Star Trek community, of anything that could possibly happen to Star Trek right now.
I think so, too, because and one thing about this is that even though you have much more serialized storytelling in AMC and HBO and things like that, I feel like with Netflix, you would have writers who would craft the season before anything was shot. And that's the beauty of Netflix, and that's the beauty of this type of delivery system, is that they craft the entire season at once and then go out and shoot it, and then they produce it and edit it and everything like that. And so with that in mind, I feel like even though, like, with broadcast you'd have 22 episodes and however many seasons, as long as it was last making money. With AMC, you would have a shorter season, maybe anywhere from 13 to 16 episodes per season, as long as it was making you money. I feel like with Netflix, you would have a better chance of getting people to come in and say, okay, this is our 5-year plan. This is what's going to happen in season one. This is what can happen in season two, blah, 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 blah. Now, mm-hmm. they may not have every episode, but they know where they want to start and finish with each season. Mm-hmm. And I know Breaking Bad had a plan 5 years, and I really appreciate that. Because they start out saying, we're only going to go 5 years. Now forget the whole crap of splitting up the last season. We're not going to talk about that.
I'm so glad I didn't have to deal with that because I binged through Breaking Bad after it ended.
It was absolutely atrocious. But with Netflix, like with House of Cards, you know, like as soon as season one and two aired, like the head writer and executive producer sent out a tweet saying, here's, you know, season 3, episode 1, you know, like mm-hmm. he sent a picture of the cover of the script. They're working on it and right. they're continuing to work on it. And I feel like Star Trek has never been treated that way. And it would only improve if it was treated that way, or if it had a planned arc and where we could binge watch it and just consume it, because we as Star Trek fans are always ahead of the curve when it comes to technology and media.
Mm-hmm. We're hip to this. I don't know about you, but I love Netflix, and I know a lot of people, Star Trek fans especially, they're watching Orange is the New Black right now because of Kate Mulgrew, who's nominated for an Emmy, and gosh, I hope she wins. So this seems like a natural fit, does it not?
I feel like I'm glad that we finished on this one, because I feel like out of everything, like my first choice is Netflix, second AMC, third Fox.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And you know what? In all honesty, I mentioned at the top of the show how I thought a broadcast network could possibly tie in to something a little later. This is my idea that I think is actually the most feasible, is somehow CBS and Netflix team up somehow. They get into a partnership or something. CBS gives Netflix the rights or something to that mm-hmm. effect, where they produce the next Star Trek show on Netflix with CBS's blessing.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's at least feasible. Now, I'm not in the biz anymore. I'm not behind the scenes. I'm not trying to start any rumor, but I could see this situation happening where Star Trek is doing very well on Netflix. It is. Mm-hmm. It's doing very well. A lot of people are watching the older episodes on Netflix, and so that would be enough for CBS to talk with Netflix, saying, "Hey, our older shows are doing so well on your platform. Let's think about doing a new one."
And think about the excitement that builds up when a new season of one of Netflix's shows comes out right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, people are just on the edge of their seat. They can't wait until they release it and then watch through them all at once. And it's
people
like,
don't shut up about it.
No, when they really need to be quiet on Twitter, for those of us who have to have like work and lives and stuff and can't join in the same freaking day that everybody else did. Not that I'm bitter or anything.
Yeah.
But yes, honestly, this is how I think it's going to happen. If, and dare I say, when it happens, it's just a matter of time, I think. And I think it's going to be 13-hour-long episodes. They're going to get some genius writers in there. They're going to plan out whole seasons. And then, like you said, an overall arc, too. They're going to decide how long this thing goes before it's even premiered.
And in reference to Voyager, because that's, you know, that's the basis yes. of our hypothetical conversation, I feel like a lot of it would be the same. A lot of the characters would be the same. We'd have the same type of diversity. We'd have Seven of Nine, I think, right off the bat. I feel like it would be serialized like we talked about with AMC, and that everything that we said with AMC would happen, except the benefit of better planned seasons on Netflix. And in reference to specifically Voyager, I feel like you would have better bad guys over the course of one season. I feel like one season, yes. one season bad guy wouldn't bleed over into another. Like, we wouldn't get 3 seasons of Kazon. We wouldn't get 3 seasons mm-hmm. of Borg. I feel like it would be like, the Kazon is the bad guy of this season. Or the Borg is the bad guy of this season, because it's like, this is the arc. This is that realm of space. And so... Mm-hmm. It's like at the beginning of each season, they're like, okay, we got to get through this realm of space now. And we survived.
Right. But we'd move on.
Yeah, but we move on. And then like next season's like, okay, we got to yes. get through this realm of space now. And we survived. And then you move on.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I definitely see that. And I see the villains being much more complex as a result of the planning. They're not going to be aliens of the week at all. These are going to be people that we love and hate, empathize with, and want to throw things at. I definitely think we would be much more invested in the aliens of the week, if you will.
I you know, I didn't even think of that. I'm so glad that you brought that up, because they would be heavily integrated in the show. It wouldn't just be the Voyager crew anymore. We would see the bad, like, we would be in the homes of the bad guys. We'd be in their ships. We'd be in their bulkheads. We'd be we would be in their heads. We'd be in their meetings. Now, I wouldn't say it'd be 50-50, but at least 75-25. And we would
We'd
get into their psyche and figure out their perspective, because all of Star Trek is usually, I'd say 99%, always the Starfleet perspective, and then there's the bad guy who's trying to attack that Starfleet perspective. But in this one, I feel like we'd get much more gray and much more back and forth.
Oh, yeah, totally, totally. And as a viewer, this would be incredible, because I think we would empathize a lot more with where this other species is coming from. Because they're going to have a story. We're going to find out what motivates them. They're going to have real, actual motives. They're not just going to be cardboard cutout bad guys. There's going to be a reason for why they do what they do. That's why I love the Vidians so much. Now, could you imagine fully developed Vidians on Netflix?
I see. I think the two that pop up like the most is the Vidians and the Krenim. I feel like those two aliens could be fleshed out the most, where we're like, wow, is Janeway in the right here? You know, like maybe they do have a point, you know, like certain things like that, like we order to empathize and sympathize.
Or what about the Borg? What if they did the whole thing with the Borg and Species 8472 and really, I don't want to say blow it up, but really developed it and made it several episodes, maybe a full season long, to the point where we aren't sure who to believe or what or why. And Janeway's not going to make a short-sighted decision, and it's going to be over in two episodes.
I feel like that storyline would definitely be improved by Netflix, but I feel like the Borg storyline that would be improved the most with this type of storytelling is Unimatrix Zero. I feel like you have much more humanized story with Unimatrix Zero. You have much more thought. Like, to get the Borg's perspective or H472's perspective, it's kind of hard because they are so alien. Like, they don't have people who have meetings. They don't have people who have lives outside of that. And so they're drones, you know, and we can't understand 8472 in any way, shape, or form. So, but I do believe that storyline would happen exactly the way that you're talking about. But I feel like Unimatrix Zero would be a much more relatable story and much more drawn out and improved, I think, because I didn't really like Unimatrix Zero that much, but I feel like if it had the time to tell, we would enjoy it more.
Oh, I totally, wholeheartedly agree. Of all Borg episodes, I feel like that one had such potential and they really sold that one short. Could not agree with you more. But theoretical possibilities aren't the only thing that we've been talking about here on Trek FM. And so here's a little preview of what else is happening on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, Standard Orbit.
Everything that we do has to exist inside of this little box.
This window,
yeah,
if you will.
Right. And you can do whatever you want inside there, but once you step outside, you know, it's the real world.
Earl Grey.
That's, you know what I mean? And then Star Trek V is all about crapping all over the rest of the movies that just came out.
Axanar, the official podcast.
When you're in the edit bay, as soon as you put one image next to another, it's this instant gratification. It's this great creative jolt, which happens every time you start juxtaposing your images. And when you start seeing things fall into place, it's really galvanizing and it's really thrilling, actually. And I love feeding off that kind of energy.
The Ready Room.
Well, you know, time is not really linear, Char. So the monkey, he's always been there and he always will be.
I take the Janeway stance on time travel. It gives me a headache.
The Orb.
Batman also creates a contingency plan for all the other superheroes just in case something goes wrong with them. So
what does he do for the Wonder Twins, for example? Like, how is he going to take them out?
I think he just separates them internally so they can't smack their hands together.
To the Journey!
We have like a whole bunch of geek aliens, like they're wearing their own superhero t-shirts, they're eating Hot Pockets, they have headphones on, and they're all in their own little, you know, 24th century room, but they're like, dude, I totally just pwned the Voyager.
Commentary, Trek Stars.
And underlines the goal of Prexy Gail Berman to re-energize the pipeline while revitalizing the PAR brand with top-tier talents such as Abrams. I love trays.
You have
They're
no idea what you're saying at this point.
Warp 5.
He can put her mind at ease about these kinds of things because he can just, you know how Trip is. Like, let's have some catfish and, like, just hang out. You know what I was just thinking that.
Continuing mission.
We actually spoke with CBS legal team, and that was one of the things that we had told them, is that all of our visuals were all original scenes. All of our animation was going to be original. All of our music would be original. So we would not be stealing any content from the original era. Mm-hmm. And they liked that a lot.
Literary treks.
And I just love that because it is very true. You know, Picard in some ways kind of has that Yoda-ness about him where he will kind of speak in a riddle and he wants you to figure it out.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
So check out all of our shows. We are up to 17 now with the addition of Axanar. And you can get us on virtually any platform. And we could not do any of these shows without the help of our sponsors. So let's talk a little bit about them.
Our sponsor for the show is Audible.com. Audible is a great way for you to read all the books you've always wanted to, but never thought you had the time for. Audible is the premier source for audiobooks with more than 150,000 titles to choose from, and new titles coming every week. From classics to current bestsellers, Audible has something for everyone. You'll be happy to hear that both Mosaic and Pathways are available from Audible. As a Trek.fm listener, you can get a free audiobook of your choice along with a 30-day trial to see just how great Audible is. Just go to audibletrial.com/trekfm and sign up today. Again, that's audibletrial.com/trekfm, and we thank you and Audible for supporting To the Journey and Trek.fm.
Our reviews promotion is now over. August 17th has come and gone, but it looks like a lot of people went in and got their reviews in before the deadline came up. So we have a lot of people to thank. Let's go through this. First off, on Stitcher, we have a new review, and we want to thank Badgers Don't Vote for giving us a 5-star rating and a review in Stitcher. Thank you for recommending us. And then we have several people in the U.S. iTunes store to thank. ETNSKVL.
Lost Freedom.
Lady Bears Fan.
Harmicus 7.
And Aslan 16 for all writing us reviews in the U.S. iTunes store and giving us ratings. Then finally, we have one more person to thank, and that person is Katharina Pascher. I hope that I've pronounced your name correctly. She not only wrote us a lovely review in the Austrian iTunes store and wrote us a note to let us know that, which we appreciate because we don't always check the international iTunes stores, but she was one of the many people who gave us feedback on TTJ 84, where we talked about how Voyager intertwined with our memories of growing up and vice versa. We had a lot of fun with that podcast, and we have had just as much fun with the feedback we've gotten. So I just want to take a moment to thank people for writing in and talking about it on the forums and talking to us on Twitter, which we love to do. My handle is Oh the Profanity. Tristan, what is yours?
Mine is at the Insane Robin. And Char, I got a lot of feedback from these people. I got a lot of feedback from our fans individually as well about episode 84. And the thing is, people, you know, that episode meant a lot to Char and I. And we didn't know what we were doing until we were done, because both Char and I looked at each other when we were done with the episode and we're like, you know what? You know, I'm proud of that episode. We both kind of said
yes.
That. And the reason why is because it's about each other. It's about you and I. It's about the listeners. It's about the fan experience. And we're
all
just really happy here at TTJ that it resonated with you guys.
Absolutely. We were hoping that's the effect that it would have. And lo and behold, you more than proved to us that it did. So that's been very rewarding. Thank you so much for all of that feedback.
Char, now I know you're doing a lot of stuff outside of TTJ, and tell us about some of that.
Okay, well, if you want to get to know me without the censorship and modesty of a family-friendly podcast, you can listen to me and Jenny Zell and a number of other fantastic, classy, broad ladies on Mouthy Broadcast. It is available on all the major platforms, iTunes, Stitcher, as well as mouthybroadcast.com. And we talk about things that ladies typically don't talk about. And outside of Trek FM, that is just about all I have time for these days. But a couple of new things are in the works. Occasionally, I will do a drunk podcast with Matt Hansen. And I believe that you have some new association with Matt Hansen, yes?
Yes, Matt and I have been friends for a long time, and for a long time we've always wanted to do a podcast. We've always wanted to do a podcast together, and we finally have done it. Matt Hansen and I have started our own general geek podcast. It's called The Nerd Party, and we have a lot of fun with it. We've released 3 episodes so far at the time of the recording of this podcast, and I really like it. I'm really proud of it. It's our own. It's 100% ours. We don't have any sponsorship. We don't belong to any network. It's just the two of us. And if you want to listen to it, you can go to thenerdparty.com, and it has a list of all the links where you can find us. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, everywhere that there's podcast, we are there. And so I'd really appreciate it if you TGJ fans would subscribe on iTunes or subscribe to your wherever you listen to podcasts, and give us a rating if you like us. I really enjoy doing it. I'd love to do it for a little bit longer. So the more listeners we get, the more we know we're doing something right.
Absolutely. So if you like this show, definitely check out that show, because it is just as much fun.
Ah, thanks.
Speaking of more fun, we've got more coming your way next week. What are we doing?
Next week, we're going to do a show idea that was submitted to us by a fan, and that is the best Voyager episodes to show a child. And I feel like you and I are going to have a lot of fun with that, and we're going to make a top list.
Yes, I definitely see this as a list. This is going to be how we would introduce Voyager to a young one, because we kind of just grew up around it. I don't know about you, but I don't even remember the first episode of Star Trek I watched. So this is going to be kind of an interesting thing where, if you could control the circumstances, which episodes of Voyager would you choose?
Absolutely, but you're going to have to wait until next week to hear it.
That's right. So until then, everybody, this has been To the Journey. To the Journey!